Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We continue today to study what God had told northern Israel through the prophet Hosea. Yesterday we learned of one or some of the indictments God gave against that nation. The first was, Hosea said, they forgot God, and they were in ignorance, and they were just overwhelmed in their pride. But also instability was a problem with northern Israel. They were so unstable. In Hosea 6 and verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Again in Hosea 13, Therefore they shall be as a morning cloud and as early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven by the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. You see, the people were not dependable. Where they lived, it was unstable. You know, in our land today, there are some places you can't walk down the street without being subject to an attack. There's rioting and looting and burning and killing. And those who are supposed to take charge of those things and prevent it, why, they even encourage it. They even back it. They defend it. They won't protect the people. What sort of nation is that? Well, it's people that are not dependable. The people of Reuben, he was lacking in stability, at least the Reuben was. It was said of him in Genesis 49, that he would be as unstable as water. You see, friends, Satan can beguile the unstable soul. James said, For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What is more unstable than a wave? But the Lord wants us to be mature. He wants us to grow strong. Only in this way can we stand against the wiles of the devil. The Christian is not to be the kind of person that will just drift along with the crowd, but people who will stand with conviction for what is right. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's a difference between being steadfast and being stubborn, but you're steadfast in standing firm for the will of God. You're stubborn in just standing on your own will, regardless of the will of God. But northern Israel was unstable. How stable are we? And another sin of Israel, often seen in our land today, was the mixing of God's people with the sinful people of the world. You know, the desire to be like those round about brought Israel down. Hosea 7 says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and yet he knoweth it not. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is like a silly dove, without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. You see, so many people in northern Israel were seeking the wrong fellowship. Now, there are always great pressures upon God's people to follow the sinful ways of the world. The world wants to set our standards and determine our goals and choose our coming and our going. But we must give heed to the Lord. Come ye out from among them, as Paul said. 1 John chapter 2 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Paul said, Be not conformed to this world, But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Jesus said of some of his followers, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now this is a lesson that those who profess to be Christians need to learn. Unwillingness to have fellowship with those who are of the sinful world. Another indictment of Israel through Hosea was Israel for their corruption. Hosea 9:9 says, for they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity, and he will visit their sins. Well, what was their corruption? Hosea says, by swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, and they break out, and blood, whoredom, and wine, and new wine, they take away the heart. Dear friend, is that not that characteristic of so much of our land even today? Corruption takes many forms, such as lying and stealing and rioting and burning, unchastity, foul language, drunkenness, bribery, dishonesty, homosexuality. The most corrupt people of all are described in Isaiah 5. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put bitter for sweet and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, darkness for light, light for darkness. You see, to corrupt means to defile. It means to make impure and unclean. It's to change things from a sound state to a depraved and putrid state. To be corrupted is like the old man of sin. This is the reason that we're to put off the old man, put on the new man. There is reason in our nation to worry about the corruption that exists among so many people in their daily lives. Jesus said, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Yes, a corrupt tree will bring forth national corruption. But another indictment against northern Israel was their backsliding. Hosea 11:7 says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How the heart of God must have grieved as he saw that nation, the nation he had nurtured and preserved and protected and guided, for whom he had made provision, to see them slide away from him into paths of unrighteousness. And do we think that he is less displeased to see Christians today or a nation today turn back from that which God has delivered them and to turn away from him? Friend, God will not drive us back to him. Satan can only tempt us back. And if we go back, it's because of our own choice. We can choose to backslide. It is obvious by the words of Hosea that backsliding is not only possible, it's characterized by a religion of words apart from deeds. The people were religious, but they were not righteous. Rendering lip service, not full service to God, is not what God expects, and it's not what he accepts. And the eighth indictment in the book of Hosea was concerning other gods. Hosea 13 says, and now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of craftsmen. And they say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. O Israel sinned by worshiping gods of their own making. And they were not gods. They were idols constructed according to their own will. like the people of Athens to whom Paul had spoken years later, the Gentiles described in Romans chapter 1, the heathens throughout the world, even today in our own country. They serve not the true and living God. But around us also are many idols. Whatever is allowed to come before God, the worship of God, the learning of God, the working of God, that becomes an idol. One of the Christian's most important prominent idols is the secular pursuits. Christians sometimes put things before the church, in spite of the fact that Jesus teaches, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." When people do that and their children imitate them and do not follow the way of the Lord, it's no wonder why that's true. We have put idols before God. Oh, it's a costly and deadly shame of our own time, in spite of the abundant blessings that we have, that so few, relatively few, really follow the way of God. But you know, there's an alternative to following these evil ways. Israel forgot God. They were ignorant. They were full of pride. They were unstable. They followed the wrong fellowship. They suffered corruption. They were backsliding. They had their false gods. But that's not the way they had to be. And even though these things are characteristic in many areas of our own nation, it doesn't have to be that way, friend. With Israel, it was repent or perish. And we look upon history with sadness because they would not heed the prophets and the warnings against the unrighteousness. Israel preferred the stiff-necked attitude. And they pressed on to a personal and national disaster rather than turning from their sinful ways. But we ask the question with great soberness and sincerity and with a tremendous degree of concern. We have these similar choices before us. Will we be any wiser than they were? Now, we can follow the way of truth, and we can be acceptable before God, not only as an individual. We can be a good nation, a better nation, an improved nation, but not if we're going to take God out of our land. You know, there are those of a political persuasion who have tried and have succeeded in driving God out of the schools. They're trying to drive God out of the media. They're trying to drive God out of the government. Why, they'll even say the Pledge of Allegiance and leave out the phrase "one nation under God." Those people do not have God in their mind. They have their own ambitions, their seeking of power. And they promote every kind of moral degeneracy yonder heaven, and they protect it. And they would lead people to think that those who oppose it are the ones that are causing trouble. You know, there are political leaders in our land today are like the man that comes into a store, and he tears up the store. And he says, "You see what the store is when you're in control?" And he blames the trouble on the store owner. Well, that's the way many people are today. They put blame on everything but themselves and upon sin. Friend, before there can be national stability, before there can be a people that will be preserved by Almighty God, there must be a return to the belief and to the ways of God, and there must be a turning away from those who would lead us the way of the devil. And we must repent or perish. Which shall it be? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.